Hello and welcome to another Wisconsin Association for Talented and Gifted podcast. I'm your host, Corey Jennerjohn, and I am joined today by the president of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, Mike Petrilli. Mike, thanks a lot for joining us today. And first and foremost, Mike, tell us a little bit about, for those that don't know much about the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, can you please explain all the great work that you guys do over there?
Sure, happy to. And thanks for having me on, Corey. So the Thomas B. Fordham Institute has been around for about 25 years. We are first and foremost a national education policy think tank. And so we have been engaged in all kinds of issues over the years. The big education reform topics like accountability and testing, charter schools. But we have also had a soft spot in our heart for a long time for high achieving kids, gifted kids, and that's an issue we have tracked quite closely as well. We also do on the ground work in the great state of Ohio, where we have a historic legacy there. So we go particularly deep in the Buckeye State.
Awesome. That's really awesome to hear. There was a nice back and forth in Education Week that I wanted to ask you about, talking about test scores being reliable measures of merit. And you answered back with a really interesting comment that I thought was really, really cool. This is what you said was, quote, "This isn't about giving kids or their parents a trophy for being smart," end quote. I thought that was really interesting because how many kids or parents would you say do have that mindset where, you know, if they're high achieving or if they're gifted, they automatically think that, you know, they should be receiving a trophy or they should be getting this just because they're high achieving.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, first of all, to be clear, you know, we are big fans of what has been called gifted education, and all kinds of opportunities for advanced learners. But I do think that sometimes this conversation can go off the rails. And one way it does is when we talk about merit and the meritocracy. Now, look, I am somebody who is comfortable with the idea that we definitely want, when it comes to, say, selection for selective colleges or for the professions or for jobs, you know, meritocracy is better than all the other options out there and throughout history. But we also need to recognize that when it comes to kids who have gifts, whether they're academic or otherwise, we call them gifts because they're unearned, right? I mean, some kids are born with super high IQ and they didn't do anything to deserve that, just like their peers who might have been born with a low IQ didn't do anything to deserve that. You know, they were lucky, they were fortunate. And the question is, as a society, can we do all we can to help kids live up to their full potential, academic and otherwise, including those kids that were lucky to be born with great academic potential? So, you know, I just think that sometimes the word merit, it gets into these conversations about, you know, it's so values laden, it can really be distracting. I think we just, it's very simple, really, Corey. You know, we want all kids to get to fulfill their potential. And that means all, no matter how high achieving, low achieving, everybody in between.
That's a really good point. Now, let's talk a little bit about equity and fairness. How, first of all, you know, because I've hit on this topic so many times in this podcast over the years, do you think we're getting a little bit closer to kind of closing the gap in terms of equity and trying to serve everybody? Or do you think we're still a long ways away?
Well, we are a long ways away. You know, that Education Week article on Rick Hess's blog, you know, that came about after we published a great new report from a working group I was lucky to convene. It was called the National Working Group on Advanced Education. Came out with this report recently called Building a Wider, More Diverse Pipeline of Advanced Learners. In this working group, 20 people, awesome group, academics, practitioners, policy makers, you know, really left, right, and center, diverse in every way. And what we were talking about over the last year was, what are some key ways that local school districts, charter school networks, states can make sure that we're serving all kids that are ready for advanced learning opportunities, especially low-income kids and kids of color? Because we know that the excellent gaps are real, as Jonathan Plucker and others have called these gaps at the highest level of achievement, just as we have an achievement gap overall, where there's, you know, a big gulf between white and Asian kids in general on the one hand, and Hispanic and African-American kids in general on the other hand. You see that at the upper end of achievement also. And the question for many of us, and it sounds like on your podcast here too, is how do we close those gaps and close it in the right way by helping more Black and Hispanic, Native American, low-income kids reach those highest levels of achievement. And in this report, we have a bunch of ideas, and it basically comes down to saying, hey, we've got to start super early. You know, we can't wait until kids are, say, applying to college when we're having these debates about who should get into Harvard and these other selective colleges. If we want to narrow the achievement gap, we got to start in kindergarten, if not before. And I think there's more attention to this issue than before, Corey, so that's good. But I haven't seen a huge amount of momentum and movement towards the kinds of practices that would make a difference, right? The kinds of things like doing universal screening, especially in the early grades, to identify every kid who's ready to do advanced learning or gifted education and give them that opportunity. That still is not as common as it should be. And in fact, what we see instead, especially in some of the most liberal areas in the country, is they say, oh, well, what we need to do for equity and for fairness is we actually need to get rid of gifted education. We just say that nobody's allowed to do these accelerated programs. That will bring fairness. Well, that's the craziest idea, right? Wow. That's going particularly, you know, that's going totally backwards. And the way it plays out in a lot of cases is that, you know, you've got private schools or some of the affluent suburban districts that are moving ahead with gifted education. That means that mostly affluent white Asian kids are getting access to that. And it's the places where there's a lot of Black and Hispanic low-income kids that are saying, well, because of equity, we're going to get rid of gifted education. So you're making the excellence gap even worse. You know, every single elementary school in this country should have an ambitious program for advanced learners. You know, call it gifted education, call it whatever you want, an opportunity for kids who are ready for it to do advanced level work. And yet we know there's a lot of schools out there that don't have anything like that. They don't have any gifted programs. They don't have anything. And sometimes it's terrible. You ask the principals or the teachers, they say, oh, well, you know, we're a Title I school. We're a high poverty school. We don't have high achieving kids. Well, that's bunk. They've got kids in that school that are high achieving, especially relative to their peers in that school. And if they don't get the attention and the special services that they need, they are not going to live up to their full potential.
That's a good point. And a thing that I've always wondered is why isn't there more universal screening? Why? I guess I've never really understood that.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a low-hanging fruit, right? We've got all this testing going on in our schools. I mean, at the very least, the state testing that kicks in by the third grade. But in many cases, testing that starts in kindergarten, first, second grade with the MAP assessment or iReady or some of these others. So it's not hard to do to look at those test results and say, hey, let's identify in every school the kids who are scoring, you know, at the top 10% for that school. And let's provide something special for them to make sure that they get what they need to keep making progress. That's doable right now in every place in the country. There's no excuse for not doing it.
I really like the idea of having a bar just, you know, district wide instead of state or national. You know, having like a percent, you know, in 90th percentile for said district, as you know, because then you're just going against, like you said, you're just going against your peers. And if you are in a, you know, lower income or a different district, what have you, we can definitely change the parameters. I think that's a really good thing.
Yeah. And go even further than that, really, Corey, which is to go at the school level, particularly in districts, maybe bigger districts where there is more socioeconomic diversity, where maybe there's one elementary school that's quite affluent, another one that's quite poor. You know, you want to make sure that every school has a program for their advanced learners. And even if the poor kids are on average not achieving at as high a level, the kids who are relatively speaking doing quite well compared to their peers, they need something special. Because especially if you're in a high poverty school where most of the kids are below grade level, especially after the terrible pandemic, but you are on grade level or you're above, a grade above, two grade levels above, your peers are going to be way behind you on average. And so if the teacher's aiming for the average or for most of the peers, they're going to be aiming for instruction that's below grade level, certainly below where you are ready. And so those kids need something special. Again, they may not be, you know, at the top 1% nationally. That doesn't matter. You know, if they're above where their peers are and therefore need advanced instruction in their school, that's what matters.
Is the biggest hurdle for all of this, is the biggest hurdle still funding? Like when districts hear, you know, about, you know, giftedness or more advanced, you know, more opportunities for advanced learning, do school boards cringe because they fear, you know, where the funding and the money is going to come from?
You know, I don't buy that one, Corey. Look, some extra money is certainly helpful. I think it can be particularly helpful. So you hire at the district level somebody who's in charge of gifted education or advanced learning or whatever you want to call it. And those people can make a big difference. But, you know, even if you don't have extra money, a lot of these things, they don't cost extra money. I mean, let's say you've got a kid who is a second grader and is ready to do third grade level math. If you put that kid in third grade level math for an hour a day, that doesn't cost you a penny, right? It doesn't cost you anything. Yeah. And it would make a big difference to that student. And, you know, likewise, if you have some achievement grouping within classrooms, whether that's reading or math or some other subjects where you say, hey, we're going to make sure that at least for part of the day, maybe not all day, but at least for part of the day, the highest achieving kids get to be in a group with other high achieving kids so they can be instructed at their level. Again, doesn't cost you anything extra. It's just a matter of how you manage and organize what's already going on within your school. So we don't need fancy programs per se. What we need is just to be able to find creative ways to target instruction to where kids are at. Same thing that low performing kids need. They need instruction targeted at where they're at in a way that it gets them to stretch and to learn and to make progress. Same thing for the high achieving kids.
Okay. But that's funny that you bring up the low performing kids. Why is it easier for, you know, districts and school boards and, you know, teachers to a certain extent to sell, you know, more, you know, a different curriculum base or more resources to lower, you know, lower learning as opposed to advanced learning? Why? I guess that's the one thing that I've never really understood. Why is it always harder to try to have something new for and try to have something new and better for advanced learners?
You know, it's a really good question, Corey. I think it's mostly about mindsets. You know, I think that there's a mindset in education that we need to, as the saying said, leave no child behind, right? I think that the ideology around saying that we've got to particularly focus on kids who are struggling the most, I think that resonates with a lot of people. People go into education because they're trying to help kids and, you know, improve the world and because they're good people. And so this notion that there are kids out there, particularly who have come from disadvantage, show up in schools not ready for kindergarten and behind the eight ball, you know, all of that, that people say, hey, we need to help those kids. And absolutely, we do. I mean, they absolutely need help. And it is a life or death situation for a lot of those kids about whether or not they learn to read, for example, can have a big impact on whether they're going to graduate from high school and therefore whether they're going to have a decent paying job or whether there's going to be this intergenerational poverty. I mean, all of that is very compelling. And I think there has been an ideology that says, well, the high achieving kids, on the other hand, they'll be fine. They're doing fine. They'll be fine on their own. And maybe that's true if those kids are affluent and they've got a lot of family support and families who are savvy enough to know how to work the system or to get them the tutoring after school or the, you know, enrichment opportunities or to send them to the Hopkins program. But if you're especially talking about kids who show up despite their disadvantages and have a lot of academic potential, their only chance of getting what they need is likely to be at school. And so it's a huge problem, I think, from an equity perspective, to ignore their needs. And I think sometimes we confuse that. Because most poor kids are also low achieving, people then make this assumption that all poor kids are low achieving. Well, thankfully, that's not true. And so we've got to do a better job selling this idea that, you know, if you care about equity, ignoring the needs of high achievers is not equitable. Second and quickly, Corey, I do think there's also been policy problems over the years. I mean, some accountability systems, as they've been set up, have been focused on getting all kids over a fairly low bar. I mean, that was the No Child Left Behind model for many years. And in too many places, that's still the case, that, you know, educators feel like it's their job to make sure all kids are proficient. They don't get extra points for getting kids too advanced or getting kids to learn even more. And that's an issue. So we've got to fix some of those policy problems as well.
Yep. No, I agree 100%, Mike. It's more or less, okay, we just got to get over this bar. Once we get over this bar, we're good. But what you're saying, well, what about the third bar, the fourth bar? Well, that's not really on our radar. And that's a really good point.
Right.
In order to advance, giftedness and advanced learning, 5-10 years down the road, what really needs to happen? What are the next steps, would you say?
Well, again, we've got a whole bunch of recommendations in this new report. Again, building a broader, more diverse pipeline of advanced learners. I think in the end, we came up with 36 recommendations, which is probably way too many, but it's on a variety of strategies, many of them local, again, and things that don't cost money. The universal screening, using tests you've already got, making sure that you're not creating barriers into gifted programs or honors programs or AP classes unnecessarily. If the kid's showing up, but they show on test scores or in grades that they can do the work, bring them in. They don't need a teacher recommendation. They don't need a parent recommendation. Those things just get in the way. Find ways to accelerate learning. Again, let kids skip grades if need be, at least in a subject. Find ways to organize the classroom so that advanced learners get a chance to be around other advanced learners. Find ways to make sure that these kids are getting the social emotional support that they need and that all of this lines up. You know, if a kid is doing a gifted program in elementary school, they should be automatically enrolled into the honors classes in middle school, unless there's a reason for them not to be. We don't need to lose kids in the pipeline, especially if they're poor or they're kids of color. So, I mean, there's a ton of things here, and none of which is particularly hard or expensive. What it takes is some leadership. It takes somebody at the district level or at the charter school level who cares about these kids and makes them a priority and just, goes down this list and kind of knocks it out and says, hey, we're going to make sure that we have a system where the rule is we're going to have as open a system as possible. If you're on the bubble in terms of advanced learning, we're going to give you a shot at it. We are not going to create artificial scarcity where we pretend that gifted education or advanced learning is something we need to hoard. It is something that we want to get more kids into so that we get more kids on this pathway to advanced education. And it's doable, but again, it takes leadership.
Mike, I'm glad that you brought up social emotional learning. Is that something that sometimes seeps through the cracks? Oftentimes gets forgotten.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, it's good that there's a lot more focus on this today than there used to be. I mean, we know that there's a real crisis going on with mental health in this country for our teenagers especially. And there's some evidence that gifted kids are struggling particularly. You know, they face some unique challenges and they need to make sure that we've got to provide them with the support also. And in fact, having a chance to be around other high achieving kids, you know, other kids who like school and work hard and get good grades. And, you know, that in itself can be really important for social and emotional well-being. You know, again, at least part of the day, you know, we're not talking about cordoning these kids off and, you know, but to at least get to have some time during the day when they're around other kids and it's okay to be smart. It's in fact celebrated. That can make a big difference.
That's a really good point. All right, Mike. Hey, I really appreciate you taking some time, hopping on the Waytag podcast with me. Your thoughts were absolutely incredible. President of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, Mike Petrilli. Mike, once again, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
And thanks for having me on, Corey.
All right.